Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you back to our third class in this study of reconciliation. This is our third study, the third R in the ABCs of Christian Growth, and it's study number 18B. Study number 18B, reconciliation. What's the Bible have to say about reconciliation? I hope you've been doing well, and I wish that for you. I know that our God is good, and so do you, and that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we are according to His purpose. We want to serve the Lord. We love the Lord, and it is our desire to do the things that are pleasing before the Lord. That's what we want to do. We're not resisting the Lord in any way. We want what He wants. And that's how we go about it. So getting back into reconciliation, I just want to recap just a little bit. We've had two classes prior to this one, and the first one we just went over some preliminary things concerning reconciliation, if you remember, having to do with that reconciliation is included in your salvation. It's a vital part of your salvation, along with justification and redemption and propitiation, remission, expiation, imputation, regeneration, and spiritual circumcision, also adoption and sanctification and glorification. All of these things that have taken place when it's concerning your salvation and concerning what the Lord has done and what He has put in place and all the different avenues and legs, if you will, concerning salvation and how they splatter out in God's courtroom and in His grace and in His mercy and all these different things that had to take place and had to be in place in order for you to be born again like the Lord wanted you to be. See, the Lord didn't want things like in the Old Testament under the law. He said animal sacrifices just wasn't going to do it. They didn't meet what He wanted accomplished. He wanted us back with Him in a perfect state. And He couldn't do that without a blood sacrifice. So He sacrificed His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and made that payment, and it's an eternal payment, and it lasts for whoever partakes of that payment and partakes of that sacrifice. It is an eternal acceptance. In other words, when you get saved forever. Jesus Christ is not going to die again. He's not going back to the cross. He went once for all. He died for everybody. Everybody gets the opportunity to have eternal life under His shed blood. He died for all, the Bible says. And we talked about that. And then the last recording, we went into defining reconciliation and looking at some scriptural illustrations concerning that. And that turned out pretty good, didn't it? The Bible talks about reconciliation in many places and some very important aspects of reconciliation. The first definition was the act of reconciling parties at variance, renewal of friendship after disagreement or envy. Remember that? And the second one was a very important one, the means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God from natural estrangement and enmity. And that's something we're going to talk about today is natural estrangement and enmity. We'll get into that in just a little bit, having to do with reconciliation. But definitions, the third one was, excuse me, agreement of things seemingly opposite, different, or inconsistent. And then we talked about the reestablishing of cordial relations. Remember that? And then getting two things to correspond. Talking about the sanctuary and the altar and the things that needed to be the tabernacle and the things that the holy place and things that needed to be reconciled before the process of reconciling people back to God under the Old Testament could take its proper course. You couldn't just sacrifice on any old altar at any old holy place at any old with any old tabernacle. It had to be sanctified, and it had to be reconciled and made proper before the Lord, because God is holy. God's never going to do it. The Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. The Lord is, this is something that we can't understand until we get our minds like the Lord Jesus Christ that's coming in the future. And boy, I can't wait for that. Can you? To have the mind of Christ, to not even be able to imagine evil, to not have to worry about waking up and having a filthy thought, or having to worry about whether I've done right and wrong, or anything like that. Man, I just can't imagine being like that, but it's going to be wonderful. That's what's promised to us. We're going to have the mind of Christ. And we're going to have bodies fashioned like unto His glorious body. We're not going to have to worry about these stinking bodies, these corrupting bodies that are dying, that we're wearing right now. We're not going to have to worry about all that. But getting two things to correspond. God is holy. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. And things have to line up. And the Lord, when He does things, He does them so perfectly that every avenue of the judicial part of it, the mercy part of it, the grace part of it, and all the different parts of it line up. And that's the way that God does things. And I'm glad He's like that, aren't you? You go to one of our courtrooms, and I'm not saying that. I mean, many of them are run very well, and some of them are for the right reasons, and when they are, they work pretty good. But in a man's judicial system, there are some things that you go in there, and the judge says this, and the DA says this, and the prosecuting attorney says this, and the defense says this, and then the law says this, and then amendments say this, and the criminal history says this, and all these things come together in a court under one case, and then it's all got to line up in other rooms and other offices and probation and in this and in that and in this. You see how that thing works? And that's just one case. So many different avenues and legalities having to do whether somebody gets freedom or whether they get prosecuted. And God's judicial system works the same way, except there's a lot worse consequences and a lot better liberty by the Lord Jesus Christ. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you have liberty above, liberty beyond liberty, the liberty that you don't even understand yet. You don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have utter damnation and the wrath of God on you. And that's all throughout the courtroom and all the offices and the avenues and everything. God's going to condemn you to hell, and you're going to end up in the lake of fire. And it's going to be for eternity. That's some pretty big consequences. But you know, that's what we're going to talk about today, is that people don't take that stuff serious, so they don't take reconciliation serious. So let's talk about the first thing first, having to do with reconciliation. Before moving on in our study, it's vitally important, as we previously stated before when we've talked in a couple classes, for you to understand, now listen to this, that no state of reconciliation can exist unless there is first a state of estrangement, alienation, feud, or incompatibility present. You cannot desire or seek out reconciliation if you're not in a state first of estrangement. You have to be separated or in a feud or alienated or incompatibility. There has to be, these things have to be present, in order for you to seek a state of reconciliation. You see that? In other words, you cannot be reconciled to something or someone unless you're first in need of being reconciled. Now, this is a place where man struggles and many have perished and gone to hell because of the inability and unwillingness to accept not only what you have done and who you have offended, but what you are. Now, we touched on that a couple classes ago about what you are. I'm talking about as a human being, being born of a woman, living in this world under a curse of the Adamic nature that fell on you in the garden and when you sinned. Dogs do not bark to become dogs, and cats do not meow to become cats. They do it because that's what they are. Men do not sin to become sinners. That's what the world is hung up on. You think if you do this many sins, then you are this great of a sinner. If you do this least amount of sins, then you are this least amount of a sinner. That's not how it works in God's courtroom and in God's mind and in the Word of God. Men do not sin to become sinners. Now get this now. Men sin because they are sinners. Dogs don't bark to become dogs. Men don't sin to become sinners. Men are already sinners, therefore they sin. That's the Adamic nature. That is what you were born, the nature that you were born with. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that. They're not going to accept that. That is your state. That is the state that you are in. You see the difference? It's not what you've done that initially needs reconciling. It's not what you've done. You told a lie yesterday. That needs reconciling, yes. But that does not need reconciling about what we're talking about. Your state needs to be reconciled. The fact that you are a sinner needs to be reconciled. God cannot have sinners in His presence and will not. And will not accept sinners in heaven. So therefore your state has to be changed. You are a sinner. You do not sin to become a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. You see the difference? Now, it's not what you've done that initially needs reconciling. It's what you are, your state, your condition, the circumstances of your being need reconciling to God. The circumstances of your existence, the Adamic nature's upon you. There's a curse on you and me. It needs reconciling to God. And you can't do that by being good, because you can't be good, because you're not good. And that is where the problem comes in. The problem with this is that most people are never going to admit that they are no good and cannot help themselves, or deny believing that there is at least a small amount of good in them to get God's favor. But the Bible says that's impossible. You can't get God's favor by doing anything because of your state. You're a sinner. You have to be reconciled to God. The truth is, listen to this, we'll talk about the scriptures. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 tells us very plainly, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. And when it says righteous, it's talking about the circumstances of your being qualifying to be able to be with God, or be in God's presence, or have God's favor. There is none
righteous? No, not one. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified. Now, what's justified? Acceptable unto God. Justified, just as if he had not sinned in that sort of state. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, in other words, you can't do something, you can't work at something in order to be justified and accepted by God. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works, get this now, listen, for by the works of the law shall no flesh, let me read it again, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You got a problem with your state. Your state, the circumstances of your being, you are a sinner. You don't sin because you are a sinner. You sin. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. You are a sinner, therefore you sin. You don't sin to become a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. You started out being a sinner, and you can't get out of it by yourself or by doing anything of your own. The only way to get out of it is just like what we just read, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, put back in a state of favor with God, justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, according to the Scriptures and what we just got through reading, if somebody tries to get to heaven by doing anything in their flesh or by their flesh, will they get to heaven and be justified? Let's read it again. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's laid out there. So don't try it that way. The Lord has provided a way, and that's by faith of Christ. By faith of Christ. So you see, first things first, when it comes to this reconciliation, what needs to be reconciled? You do. Your state. If you die in a state of being a sinner and without Christ, you're going to die condemned and die in your sins, and you will have the wrath of God upon you, and you will immediately go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, that's not what God wants, but like we said to begin with, God is holy. And God is not going to break any of His rules and His holiness and His integrity and Him being the way He is in order to let you have your way. He set the way it needs to be. And you either come to Him the way that He says, or you don't come at all. And there's been many, many, many that have tried to do it another way. And they have failed. And if they died, they're in hell this very second. And won't get out. With exception of being brought before the white throne judgment and then put in the lake of fire. And I don't call that getting out of relief, do you? That's just going from one penalty to a worse one. The idea is to avoid it altogether, and it's easy. You say, how? By believing on Jesus Christ and that you might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So the first thing we want to talk about is first things first, is that your state needs to be reconciled, my friend. And brothers and sisters, if you're listening to this, more than likely, and you're studying, I don't know anybody that purposely studies the Bible that has not been confronted by God the Holy Ghost concerning their state of their salvation. That's usually the first thing that the Lord talks to us about, is that our need for Christ and our need for our state to be reconciled with the Lord and become a child of God and be born again. But you're listening to this, I'm assuming that most of you are saved. And that's wonderful. But if you're not saved, that's what we're talking about right now. And for you that are saved, to help you understand what has already taken place that you might not have understood before. Well, most of us, when we got born again, we didn't understand that our state was doomed. We didn't understand that. God saved us before we even knew that we were unsavable. Didn't he? Sure he did. It's hard to swallow. But that is what God and his word says. There's no other way except to understand that you cannot reconcile yourself to God. God has to do it for you. And he has. Through the Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That is what is known as the Pauline gospel. That's the New Testament, New Covenant gospel of the grace of God. That's how you get reconciled. That's how you get your state as a sinner reconciled to God. And you turn from, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you turn from a sinner to a saint. A sinner to a saint. Saved people are not called righteous in the New Testament. They're called righteous in the Old Testament. We don't have our own righteousness. We have Christ's righteousness on us. We are saints. We are children, sons of God. That's who we are. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Before we even knew what was going on and the state that we were in, Christ died for us. He took care of the matter for us. All you have to do is believe it and confess it and call upon his name, and he'll save you and give you eternal life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, For what the law could not do, did you get that? In that it was weak through the flesh. The law could not save the flesh, because the flesh is condemned. It's in a lost state, an Adamic state, estranged from God. God sent it, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus done that. The Bible says in John 3:16, and you know this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth," not work, not try to do it yourself, not try to be show God how good you are, not have all this, and try to change your state and show God that you deserve it and all that sort of business. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what God did. Here's the deal right there. There's the deal. Now, the initial step in any kind of reconciliation with God is believing on his Son and confessing him unto salvation. This is what begins the whole process of reconciliation in this dispensation that we live in now. You see why this is first thing first? There's no sense in talking about reconciliation unless you're born again. Because that's the first step in any kind of reconciliation with the Lord. The Lord is not going to know you or have anything to do with you if you're lost and in a lost state, in your lost state and in your state of damnation, the Adamic state. If you're in that state, God doesn't care anything about what you got to say unless it comes through His Son. And that's the first thing, the very first thing. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 through 13. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That's what we're talking about right now. Now listen to what it says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now what does that mean? Well, what does it mean to confess something? It means to admit it, to confess it, to say you agree with it, to confess it with your mouth. The Bible said, confess it with your mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Notice that it didn't mention anything about being good and changing your state and doing this and doing good and giving the poor to the poor and all that sort of thing. It didn't have nothing to do with that, did it? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And what does that mean? Reconciled. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You believe what God has told you and what God has said about Jesus Christ, His Son, and what the Word of God says. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You choose to believe what God has said about His Son and what He did for you and how you get to be righteous and get back reconciled with God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You choose, you direct your heart to go in that direction. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you say that you're choosing with your heart to believe that Jesus Christ died for you so that you could be righteous and be reconciled to the Lord, and then are you willing to confess it? And if you're willing to confess it, then the Bible says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Simple. Reconciliation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you say that you are direct in your heart to believe on Jesus Christ and accept him by faith, you wasn't there, you didn't see it, you've never seen Jesus Christ, you don't know what he looks like, you don't know his person. Only thing you know is that the Word of God tells you that he's the Son of God and he came and died for you. And he shed his blood for you so that you could be reconciled to his Father. And if you direct your heart to believe that, and you'll confess it with your mouth, the Bible says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth, if you say you believe on him, you won't be ashamed of it. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Remember we talked about that. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Did you get that? If you call upon the name of the Lord, listen to what the last verse says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Reconciled. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. This is the offer of offers throughout all eternity. God is not going to make you accept Him as your Savior. He's not going to make you believe on His Son. He's not going to make you confess it. Could God do that? Of course He could. He can make you do anything He wants to do. It is an act of will. Your will is a free agent. You choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe on Him, like the Bible says, by faith. And God, when He sees that you have direct your heart to believe what the Bible says concerning His Son, and you're willing to call out and ask God to save you in Jesus' name, and Jesus' sacrifice, then God says, when you do that, He'll honor that, and He will save you. And there have been millions and millions upon millions that have done that exact thing, and the Lord has kept His word with every one of them. And you can't pinpoint it and try to understand it and write it down, and so you can look at it on a piece of paper and have it all out there. It's by faith. I mean, the longer you live for the Lord and the longer you're saved, you start understanding a little bit more about what has taken place and what's going on and things like that as the Lord teaches you. But most people, when they get saved, they have absolutely no idea what happened. No idea. The Lord does it for us. Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful God. So there it is. First thing first, reconciliation. This is an offer from the Lord to mankind. It is a new covenant. Jesus called it a new covenant. He said, this is my blood and the new covenant, the new testament. Okay? God knows and He knew that you cannot reconcile yourself to Him. He put together this plan of reconciliation and all that will come to Him the way He has said through His Son can and will be reconciled to Him forever. Any other way has failed and it will fail. The Lord left it a choice for every man's own will whether to come or not to come. Some do, some do not. Many do not. The Lord Jesus Himself said, wide is the path that leadeth to destruction. There's more people going to hell than going to heaven. And guess what? It's by choice. And it's not God's fault. God made a way out for everybody. The only thing that God did was not force you to get saved. He left that up to you. Your will is a free agent. You get to choose what you choose. The Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 35 through 40, listen to this. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son by faith, you ain't never seen the Son of God, you see Him by faith through the Scriptures, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. Not maybe. Not if you die in the right state, not if you're a good boy or a good girl, may have everlasting life. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Not maybe, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. All who will be reconciled have to come to God through Jesus Christ in order to get God to reconcile them back to him. And the Lord says, all that come shall be saved. The Lord saved me back in 1980-81 in Ramstein, Germany, at a missionary Baptist church under the preaching of Brother Roy Grigsby as my first pastor, and I had absolutely no idea what was going on before I went into that church. I'd never been to church. I believed in God and didn't know anything about God. I respected him, but I didn't go out of my way to know him. And a fella invited me to Rhineland Baptist Church there in Germany. I was in the military over there, and he invited me just out of the blue, invited me. And I went, and I heard exactly what I'm saying to you. The gospel of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I was given an invitation. And I don't even remember. I remember stepping out, and I remember going to the back and talking with a guy and him trying to get me to pray. And I told him I wasn't going to pray, you pray. But I left that place different, and I've been different ever since. The Lord, it's not something that changed, that I changed. It's something that the Lord came into me and has never left me. And he's done that the same way to everybody else under the circumstances that they believed by faith. I believe when I stepped out of that pew and my heart changed and I said, I want to be saved. Lord, I want to be saved in my heart. And I asked him in my heart, even though I didn't pray in the back, on the way down to that altar down there, the Lord saved me. There's been many a time that I doubted it. And I ask him to save me again and again and again and again, but there's been no change. The change came that first time. The Lord kept his word with me, and he saved me. It's been 40-something years, and he's never left me, and he's been working in my life ever since. And I've failed him miserably many times, but he ain't never failed me. And then the more mature and the more closer you get to the Lord and the closer you get to eternity and dying and going to be with the Lord and everything, you start realizing what the Lord has really done. It's precious. It's precious and it's real. The Bible says all who will be reconciled have to come to God through Jesus Christ in order to get God to reconcile them back to him. You cannot manipulate God. You can't talk him into it. And you're definitely not going to die and go have a conversation with him and try to talk him into doing it. You're going to end up in hell. And the Lord says, all that come shall be saved. So you either believe it or you don't. You will believe it or you won't. So you see how reconciliation works? For a lost man, one who rejects the gospel and Jesus Christ, and there are many. I've been, when I go soul winning, all you got to do is go soul winning and try to talk people, try to get people saved. And you'll find out that people do reject Jesus Christ and hate his guts. And they reject the gospel. And they reject the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they'll fight you about it and they'll hurt you about it. They've killed many Christians about it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, used to kill Christians about it. Until the Lord saved that rascal. And then he became the best Christian, the most admired Christian we have that wrote most of our New Testament. For a lost man, one who rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ concerning his state, there is never any kind of reconciliation to or from God. God's already done everything he's going to do to try to get you to come to him. And if you won't do that, God says, well, you're on your own, buddy.
wipe my hands of it. I've done all I'm doing, and it's enough. All you got to do is accept my son, and you can be reconciled to me, and you can become my son, and you can live with me forever, and have all the benefits of being a son of God, and the promises in that book. Or you can reject me, and I wipe my hands of you and have nothing to do with you, and you can die and perish and go to hell. Period. It's that simple. But it's that tragic. In other words, he lives out his life in that body that he's in, and he dies the enemy of God, not reconciled, and goes to hell. Now, on the other hand, one that hears the gospel and believes and confesses Christ and trusts him to save him is born again. That's what the Bible says. I read it to you. His state changes from a lost man's to a saved man's state. Big difference. And he's accepted to and by God into his family and completely reconciled. In the New Testament, a believer is completely reconciled to God and back in his favor and cannot be estranged from him ever again. That's what Paul said in the New Testament. Remember, I know that life and death and being poor and rich, I'm paraphrasing it, but he said left and right and up and down and this and that and the other cannot separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You can't lose it because you didn't do anything to get it. God gave it to you. All you done was obeyed the Lord by faith and believed his word about his son, and you acted upon it, and God rewarded you for it, and he gives you eternal life and adopts you into his family. See that adoption thing? That's what we're talking about. Adoption. That's a big part of it. We've got another. Matter of fact, there's an ABC study on that. Christ's blood covers someone forever. His sins, because of Christ, are forgiven and taken away. Not like the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were forgiven, but they couldn't be taken away because there was no blood powerful enough to take it away. Animals' blood couldn't take it away. It could forgive it, but it couldn't take it away. Now, this is not the same in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament setting, that was not the same. In the Old Testament, under the law and before the law, someone was either righteous or wicked. In the New Testament, you're not righteous. You're a saint. You have Christ's righteousness on you. In the Old Testament, you were classified either as righteous or wicked. You obeyed the law and done what God said, and you believed God, and you done what God said works. Or either you disobeyed God and done wicked things, and you were either righteous or wicked. That's what the circumstances are under the law. Whichever one of these two states someone died in, that would be his judgment. The wicked man went to hell, and the righteous man went to a place called paradise, which Luke chapter 16 talks about. Paradise was a place that God had prepared that was across from the gulf from hell. There was a great gulf fixed. Luke 16 said that hell was there. All the people that went to hell were in hell, and then there was a gulf, and across that gulf was a place called paradise. And that's where all of the righteous people went, the ones that died with their sins forgiven but not taken away. They died in favor with God because they'd done that which is right. They'd done the works and done the right things before God and done what God said. And they died in a righteous state but not saved state. You see the difference? These are things that we learn when we study God's Word. Paradise was a place that God had prepared that was across from the gulf from hell, and the ones that died in a righteous state went there. The reason that they went there instead of heaven, where the New Testament saint now goes, the New Testament saint goes straight to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. These people didn't. They went to paradise. And the reason they went there instead of heaven is because of reconciliation and how it worked in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when a man repented and turned toward God and done the things that were right in his sight, God forgave that man. The problem was that God could forgive him, forgive the man, as long as he remained righteous, but God could not yet take away the man's sins because there was nothing to pay the payment to do such a thing. The sins were forgiven, but they were still on the books, if you will, and had to be dealt with. This is why people in the Old Testament went to paradise instead of all the way to heaven to be with the Lord. God could not and would not allow them there with their sins still being around. So they went to paradise to wait until the Lord Jesus Christ came to make the payment necessary to not only forgive sins, but to take them away. Now, this is why the Lord, after his death, during the 3 nights and the 3 days in the tomb, went to paradise and got all of the righteous and took them to heaven. And there's no more paradise down there. It's all hell down there now. Hell hath expanded itself. He led captivity captive. He went and got them and took them to heaven now because the payment had been made. Now all that die in Christ go directly to heaven. This is what reconciliation is all about, fundamentally. Another avenue how reconciliation works is strictly with a New Testament saint and his Heavenly Father. In other words, we talked about that, but this is another portion of reconciliation you get into after somebody's been saved. There's a reconciliation about your state, getting in a right state with the condition of your soul with God. And then there's reconciliation having to do with you already being a son of God and being saved and misbehaving and needing to be reconciled to your Heavenly Father and get your relationship back right with your Father. There's many in the world walking around like that now. Christians in bar rooms and Christians out running amok and whoring around and just doing ungodly things that they shouldn't be doing. And that's where God takes his fatherly role on. Whole different sort of reconciliation there, but still taught and still necessary. But nothing like heaven and hell reconciliation. You see the difference? You can't put those two things together. One sort of reconciliation brings the sinner back into the state of favor with the Lord and births him into the kingdom of God, and he becomes a son of God and in the family of God and adopted as a son of God. Once in that state, now you are a son of God. Your walk with the Lord comes under reconciliation. When you misbehave and you don't do what the Lord said, like if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not talking about going to heaven or going to hell. He's talking about your daily walk with the Lord as a son of God and behaving yourself until the Lord comes to get us and changes us where we don't have to worry about messing with this sin nature anymore. Another avenue, like I was talking about, how reconciliation works is strictly with a New Testament saint and his Heavenly Father and their relationship as father and sons. That is not the relationship between God himself and an unsaved sinner. That's not that relationship. That doesn't exist. That's a different kind of reconciliation. This kind of reconciliation between father and son is different. This type of reconciliation has absolutely nothing to do with heaven and hell. It is a family relationship of obedience and disobedience and reconciliation of fellowship whenever one might break fellowship with the Lord. You cannot get out of God's family once you're in, but you can break fellowship with the Lord, and he'll tear your hind end up whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son with whom he has to do. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and not only forgive us of our sins, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness we might have piled on ourselves, that we don't even know where we've sinned against the Lord. The Lord will cleanse us of that, because Jesus' blood is able to do that now. The Lord is able to do that through Christ's blood and through Christ's righteousness that's on us. You see how that thing works? So, reconciliation, first things first. And you see why we went this direction with this study? And we kind of just put everything on pause and talking about first things first. Because it's very important to know whether or not you've been born again. If you haven't been born again, you're wasting your time with trying to be in favor with God without Jesus Christ. If you're trying to get around the gospel of the grace of God and Jesus Christ, you're wasting your time with reconciling with God. He's not going to have nothing to do with you. When you come to the Lord through Jesus Christ, the Lord will listen to you and the Lord will save you. He'll let you become a son. He'll make you one of his sons, and then you got a relationship. Now let's pause just a minute. We're going to finish this out with this right here and do it this way. And then after we finish this study today, we'll go on into our study of reconciliation as born again children of God. And we'll study what the Bible says about reconciliation. We'll go on in some other things, but this needed to be taken care of first. Are you saved? Are you reconciled to God? You either are or you're not. Now, if you are, then we will continue in the study on our next study, and we'll just continue studying reconciliation, and we'll go on right down through it, and we'll find out what the Lord has for us as saved children of our Lord and fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not, or you're not sure, and I'm not trying to make you not sure. If you ask the Lord to save you, you heard the gospel, and you asked the Lord to save you, and you did it sincerely, you're born again. The devil's been beating your brains out. He beat mine out for years and years and years, telling me all sorts of things about why I wasn't saved. Drove me nuts. But if you're not sure, you're really not sure, and you're not sure whether there's been a time, then I'm going to present the gospel to you and give you opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ today, right now, right here. And if you mean business, then you can be saved right here, right now. But if you're not sure, then get it settled. Get it settled. And nail it down and forget about it. Because it's the Lord that's doing the work. All you have to do is exercise your faith. And we went over that just a minute ago of what exercising your faith is. Now, at the very end of this study, and you'll know that when you see these pages, but I put the plan of salvation on the last page of this study, and I'm fixing to go over it. And it's called the gospel. It's from God's word. And it shows you exactly how to accept Christ as your Savior and be born again. It's nothing new. It's Scripture. It's God's Word. It's just reading God's Word, believing God's Word, and acting on it. Your will, remember? Choosing your will. If you're not sure, and many are not, then we're going to stop right now. We're going to go to that last page. I'm fixing to go there right now. And this is the exact same thing that preacher preached to me. And many, many, many people here today. It's the gospel. And we'll go there right now, and we're going to read the scriptures. And if you want to accept Christ as your Savior, you can. If you don't, then don't. Now, this is all that matters to you if you're not saved. Take care of this first. If you've come this far in this study, then you're sincere
in your quest to know about being reconciled to God. You want to know how to get into God's favor. You're honest about that. You're genuine. If you've come this far in this study, then you're honest. And you mean it. Now, it begins with Christ. Now, let's go there, and I'm going to turn there right now, and I'm going to read this, and I'm just going to go through it, and you make your mind up. If you will trust God's Word and believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, you've never seen Jesus Christ, you never talked to Jesus Christ, you never touched Jesus Christ, you don't know what He looks like, you just read about Him in God's Word and what God said about Him. God promises to give you eternal life right this very second. Now, I don't understand that, but He did that for me. I don't know how God deals. God don't live in time. He lives in eternity. Do you think you could believe God enough to trust His Word? He says if you will, you will go to heaven when you leave that body you're living in, when you die. Now, here's what the Bible says. First thing is, admit in your heart to God that you're a sinner. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you willing to do that? Then do that right now. The Bible says that we're all sinners and that we're in a sinful state and we can't change that. We went over that, remember? You either believe that or you don't. Some people don't, and some people won't. I was soul winning one time and was at a house of a young college girl, and she stood there, and I went through the gospel, and I said, would you like to pray and accept Christ? She said, yes. I said, let's bow our heads then. I said, I'll pray a prayer if you'd like me to, and you can just mean business with God and pray the prayer, and if you mean it from your heart, God promises He'll save you. She said, okay. We bowed our heads, and I said, Dear Lord. She said, Dear Lord. I said, I know I'm a sinner. And it was quiet. Nobody said nothing. And I thought, well, she didn't hear me. I said, Dear Lord. She said, Dear Lord. I said, I know I'm a sinner. And nothing, no response. And I said, Dear Lord. And she said, Dear Lord. And I said, I know I'm a sinner. And she said, I ain't saying that. And I said, well, you can't be saved then. And that's how that ended. Don't say people won't say it, because they won't. The question is, will you? Are you a sinner? Then confess that to the Lord right now. All right? Next, understand and believe that there is a penalty for your sin. The Bible says there is. If you die in the state that you're in, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You know you're going to die, but it's not talking about that death, your body. It's talking about the death over in Revelation 21:8. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pick one. Either pick sin unto death or pick gift of God unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. You understand Him and you believe that there's a penalty for your sin. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that there's a heaven and hell, then what do you got to be reconciled for? There's a whole bunch of people talk themselves into believing that there's no God. Atheists do that all the time. A lot of people, and they move the Bible around and the words around and the sentences around and God's words around to make them fit their salvation. But it ain't going to work when they get into eternity. The only thing that's going to work is the way God said. Now listen to this. It says, understand and believe that there's a penalty for your sin. If you get what you deserve, God will put you in the lake of fire. And this is not what God wants. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, and it says, for the wages of sin is death. This is the death that that's talking about. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, get this, which is the second death. That's the death where you're disposed of. God puts you in the lake of fire and forgets about you. Do you believe God do that? Some people won't. Some people say, yeah, there ain't no God and there ain't no hell and blah, 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 blah. You're all right, I'm all right, we're all all right, ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Is that true? Is that really, really true? But then the Lord says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He puts up with us, not willing that any should perish. God don't want you to die and go to hell. Now, why would God say he's not willing for you to perish if you were not going to perish? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You change your mind. You make a turn. You start believing what God said. Admit in your heart that you're a sinner. Understand and believe that there's a penalty for your sin. And understand that if you get what you deserve, God will put you in the lake of fire. And this is not what God wants. Are you with me? All right, next. Believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for you on purpose. You didn't see it. You wasn't there. Only thing you got is God's Word that says he did that. And he did. And that he died for you, and he died for your sins on purpose, and he shed his blood, and his blood is what makes the payment for your sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you believe that? Will you believe that? Will you choose to believe that? Okay, let's move to the next thing. If you choose to believe that, then the Bible says, pray to God, confess Jesus Christ by faith, and call upon him to save you. You say, where does it say that? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Listen to it carefully. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that what it says? Pray to God, confess Jesus Christ by faith, and call upon him to save you. And it says when you do that and you believe that God raised him from the dead, that he's alive and well, then God will save you. Just for doing that. God said, do this, you do it, God sees it, he saves you. Do you believe that? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess, some not going to. I just told you about one, a young college girl. Some ain't going to say it. Will you say it? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's God's words in God's book written about his Son concerning your salvation and how to be reconciled to the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ will take you just like you are, a sinner deserving to die and go to hell, and will forgive your sins, take them away completely, and give you a home in heaven, would you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and call upon him to save you? You will, or you won't? If you will, I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And my prayer can't save you. I'm just trying to help you out. just like people help each, just like everybody's been helped out that has been born again into the kingdom of God. My pastor 41 years ago helped me out from a pulpit and told me how to be saved. And all I done was acted upon what I heard. If you'll pray this prayer and you'll mean it from your heart, because of what you've heard in God's Word about the Son of God that died for your sins, and you will confess with your mouth and believe that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says God will save you. So let's pray. Father, I come to you, just repeat after me if this is what you want to do, or you can ask God to save you in your own words. Either way. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've heard what your Word says. I know that if I got what I deserved, I'd die and go to hell because of my state, that I can't be reconciled with you, Lord, without Jesus Christ. I've heard what your Word says about your Son that died for me. He shed his blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, and that he done it for me, and Christ died for me. That's what your Word says. Lord, I choose to believe that. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I confess Him now as my Savior and as the Son of God that died for my sins. And I accept Him as my Savior now, and I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul, Lord, and give me eternal life on the grounds of Jesus Christ, your Son. And I thank you for my salvation, Lord. And I believe that he rose from the dead. I say that with my mouth. He rose from the dead, that you brought him up from the dead. I believe that, and that he's alive today. And I say that with my mouth and confess it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me ask you this. Did you believe that? Did you pray that? Okay. Did you mean it? Then, God bless you. If you meant it, then the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you call upon the name of the Lord? Did you ask God to save you? Then according to the Word of God that cannot lie, what did God just do? He saved you. Now, I don't know if there's any fireworks or celebration going on in your heart or someone going on in my heart, and I've been saved for some years, and I hope you just accepted Christ as your Savior, because something major just happened, the most important thing in all eternity just happened in your life. God, the Holy Ghost just entered into you. You have just been born again and adopted into the family of God, and you are forgiven of your sins, and they are taken away, and you are accepted in the Beloved, and you're born again and on your way to heaven, and never have to worry about being separated from God again. You have been reconciled. That's it. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way God made it. It was by faith. You didn't have no proof. You chose to believe God. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You didn't see it. You heard God say something about it, and you acted on it and believed God, and God rewarded you for believing Him. And now you're saved. Congratulations. Now we can move on in our study. Listen to this. The Bible says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You don't have to ever be ashamed of your Lord. He saved you, and he's your Lord now. He's your Lord. And the Lord, his Father is your Father. You have a heavenly Father now. You are in the family of God. You are not estranged from the Lord. You are in the family. You've been adopted. And we'll talk about that more on the adoption study in the ABCs of Christian Growth. And you can find that out more on that study. But there we go. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's what you just done,
then you are born again in spite of what anybody says. God says you're saved. Now nail that down, ground it, don't let anybody ever take it away from you, and base it on the Word of God, what you just believe, because God said it, and that's what makes it stick. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. What a way to stop, huh? And we're going to continue in our study, and we've gotten past First Things First, and we've talked about this reconciliation and what it is and what avenues it takes and the different relationships having to do with reconciliation between a lost person and a God as judge on an unsaved person, or a Heavenly Father and a born-again child of God. Reconciliation. So we're going to go on into our study next lesson. And we're going to begin with the condition of a man before he's reconciled and start breaking reconciliation down and understanding it as a child of God and as God teaches us as his sons, and just study the thing out. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. Praise the Lord. What a good study. Amen. And congratulations again, my brothers and sisters. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are born again and you are one of us. You're in the family of God and you are accepted in the Beloved. And congratulations. I am so happy for you. And praise our wonderful Lord for his provisions at Calvary, huh? Only the Lord could have thought that thing up. He's the only one that would have done it. If man had come up with something like that, you know what he'd have done? He'd have charged you for it. He'd have figured out how to put you on a payment plan. Yeah. And that's where the works come in. You see how that thing works? That's the way man is. God ain't that way. God wanted you to have it for free, and he give it to you just by believing him. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, well, we're stopping right there. I'm going to give you these scriptures for First Things First. Are you ready? Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. John chapter 6, verse 35 through 40. And then we have Luke chapter 16, the entire chapter. That's where it talks about paradise and talks about the lost man and Lazarus and why they went to different places rather than going straight to heaven and all that. Remember that? And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And then we have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, and Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Now, all those scriptures right there that I just gave you, those are the ones that we just went over having to do with the gospel of the grace of God. That's what we went over, was the gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline gospel, the New Testament, the New Covenant, and you have heard the updated covenant from God about how to be reconciled from him, and that's what you believed, and that's why you are saved and on your way to heaven. It's because you believed God, and you believed his word, and you acted upon it. Amen? No works involved. You didn't have to be good. You didn't have to ride a donkey. You didn't have to give a certain amount of money. You didn't have to say 50 million Hail Marys or twiddle beads or any of that mess. None of it. You just believed what God said. Congratulations, brothers and sisters. All right. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. We're winding this up, and we'll continue our study on our fourth class. coming up. We'll start it out talking about the condition of man before he is reconciled. We've been over quite a bit of that already, but we'll nail it down and start itemizing the thing and just really understand it and what God's Word teaches us. I love you with Christ's love, and congratulations to my brothers and sisters, you new born again. You stay in these classes. It's important for you to be next to God's Word. Very, very important for you to be around God's Word now. Okay? All right. Talk to you on the next one. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.